unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8 says, But God commended his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, if it had not been for the love of God, where will you and I be today? You see, there is nothing like the love of God. It is the most overwhelming thing that mankind can ever encounter in this life. It is the greatest thing God ever did for any of us. The reason I can say that is because when I wasn't conscious of it, God was pursuing me and God was pursuing you. He kept coming after us in love until that day when the Holy Spirit of God moved our hearts in a way that brought us to an altar of forgiveness. You see, that is a love that passes all understanding. That is the unrelentless, unyielding, and determined love of Almighty God for mankind. See, God had a purpose for each and every one of us. He had a purpose for his love toward you and I. We are told in 1 John, the first chapter and fourth verse, And these things write we unto you, that our joy might be filled. That was God's love for us. In 1 John 2:1, that we might not sin. In 1 John 5:13, that we might know that we had eternal life. In 1 John 4:11, that we ourselves might love others. That is the extent of God's love for you and I. You see, we serve a great God. We serve a God that's great in love toward mankind. Our salvation is secure by the love of Jesus Christ. You Bible students know the story of Paul. After Paul was converted on the road to Damascus, Paul testified that even during those hate-filled years, while he was full of prejudice, while he was blindly slaughtering Christ's disciples, that God loved him. That is why he was able to write there in Romans, the 5th chapter and the 8th verse, But God commended his love toward us, and yet while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How many of us believe that Christ died for you while we were out there in this world doing everything that we were big enough to do? Christ died for you and I. What Paul was saying in essence to all of us, even though I wasn't aware of it, my God in heaven was working on me when you and I were not aware of what was going on. God was working on you and I to bring us where we are today in Christ Jesus. He kept coming after you and I in love. How did he come after us in love? He sent the saints of God who were already saved to keep talking to you and I about turning our lives over to God. Saints of God, don't get weary in well-doing. If you've been pursuing one of your loved ones and telling them about Jesus Christ, keep on telling them about the love of Almighty God. They right now might not be hearing what you are saying, but keep on in the Spirit of God, letting them know about Jesus Christ. This old world needs to know that Christ died for them. This old world needs to know about our Savior today. Just take a look around and see the turmoil that is going on. Yes, our world needs a Savior. Yes, our world needs Jesus Christ. And yes, there is still grace that God has for mankind to come to him. How many of us believe that so? Because if it had not been for the grace of God, where would you and I be today? If it had not been for someone that was sitting around watching and looking at us and praying for our soul, would we be saved today? No, we would not be. I can remember the day that God saved me. I can remember how I was trying to escape. Elder Ward had just preached the word of God, and I can remember getting up and trying running downstairs. But oh, I thank God for Sister Violet Blue Ellen, who was ushering downstairs, and Sister knew that I was trying to run away from God, and Sister turned me around and said, you need to go to an altar of prayer. The Spirit of God is speaking to you. Saints of God, we don't know how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin. It may be through a song. It may be when we're out there at Lowe's. Someone may see the light of God in us, and the Spirit of God will draw them unto mankind. Remember what the Word of God says to you and I. He said, we are to let our light so shine before mankind that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. It's not about bringing glory to you and I, but it's about bringing glory to Almighty God. Oh, I thank God for this way of salvation. I don't have to show off or show out in any way. All I have to do is live right for Jesus Christ. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Amen. Praise God. Oh, thank God for his unrelenting love that God has for you and I. You see, through the years, Paul became increasingly convinced God would love him fervently to the end of time. Through all his highs and lows in life, Paul knew that there was a God in heaven. And all thanks to God, we do too. Turn with me to Romans, the 8th chapter, where Paul shares with us God's unspeakable love toward his people. There in verse 35 of that scripture reading, he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or peril or sword? He said, as it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. See, here Paul was letting us know that the circumstances of life, Satan, and nothing else shall separate us from the love of God. None of us can understand why God loved us so, but we know we have experienced it and can never be separated from it. In the 136th division of Psalms, we are told, turn there for a moment. We're going to come back to Romans, but turn to 136 and look at what we are told here of God's enduring love for you and I. And look what he says here in that first verse. He said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. How many of us can give thanks to God today for all his goodness and mercy to us? Oh, it's by his mercy that you and I are not consumed. Thank God for it. He went on and said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, to God, of God, for his mercy endureth forever. He said, oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. Do you believe that God is still doing great wonders today? Do you believe that God is still able to save today? He went on to say there, he said, to him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. You know, scientists are still trying to figure out God. They're still trying to figure out how this is here, how the moon is sitting here, how the sun is here, and all the various things. But you can't figure out God. He is past finding out. He is God and God alone. Oh, God made it so in the Word of God. I thank God in another scripture. It says the sun knows when it's supposed to be up, and the moon comes up and the sun goes down. They're in harmony one with another. There's no confusion in God's creation. The only thing that's confused is mankind. And where there is confusion, as Sister said earlier, God is not in the midst.
Amen.
God doesn't have confusion. Oh, I thank God for it.
Amen.
He goes on to say there, to him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endured forever. to him that make great life, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night. See, God has everything set up. It's orchestrated just right. Mankind is out trying to mess up the things of God, but God has everything already set in place. He goes on to say the moon and the stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. He said, with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, thanks to God, we know these stories of old, how God worked a miracle for God's children when they were fleeing out from the hand of Pharaoh, and how God departed the Red Sea. You may see it on television. They usually show it around the world Easter time, and they'll show the children of Israel when God parts and water falling on. But our Bible tells us he made an east wind come dried up everything, and they walked through. There was no mud on their feet. There was no rain falling down. They wasn't dodging any kind of raindrop, but they were able to walk from one end to the other. The only ones that suffered were Pharaoh's army. All of his chariots, they came in after the children of Israel, and then they began to drudge and try to get across. But God miraculously brought his people to safety.
Amen.
That was God. He went on to say there, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endured forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for mercy endured forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endured forever. To him which smote great king, for his mercy, what? Endured forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endured forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endured forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endured forever. And gave their land for inheritance, for his mercy endured forever. Even in heritage unto Israel, his servants, for his what? Mercy endured forever. Who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy. Praise God. He remembered us in our low estate.
Amen.
When we were not serving God, God remembered us. He said, for his mercy endured forever, and has redeemed us from our enemies. Praise God. For his mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh. Thank God how he provides for us. Saints of God, oftentimes you and I, all of us have quoted what the psalmist said in Psalms 37. I was once young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed breaking. Thank God for his provision for you and I. Who giveth food to all flesh. For his mercy endure forever. Then it goes on to say, oh, give thanks unto God, unto the God of heaven, for what? His mercy endureth forever. Thank God for his mercy. Saints of God, there's a reason why you and I ought to shout. Very easy to get discouraged about the things that are going on. There are thousands of reasons that you and I could be sad this afternoon. However, as a child of the Most High God, we, the saints of God, ought to be excited, knowing how much God loved us and what God has done for us and what God is going to do on our behalf. Oftentimes, we want to make our worship services resemble funerals, but it's not a funeral when you come to worship Almighty God. We should never be ashamed to shout and praise God in God's house. We're not talking about getting out of the spirit, but we do all things in decency and order. But God's service doesn't have to be a funeral. Why? Because we come to worship God and the beauty and holiness of God God's eternal word. We come to praise Almighty God. We don't neglect serving him. We don't neglect preaching the truth of God's eternal word, but we come to lift up our voices in total praise to Almighty God.
Amen.
For all that God has done in our lives. In 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, Paul states, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." You see, Paul isn't talking about material riches here, but he's talking about spiritual riches. Regardless of what we might be going through, there is room in our lives to continue to glorify God. Jesus didn't come to magnify himself or bring glory to himself, but he came to bring glory to Almighty God. Oh, I thank God for the word of God. You see, Jesus gave up the right to a capital I, meaning all emphasis on I, me, and myself. Christ passed up every opportunity to be the greatest among his fellow men. You think about it for a moment. He never prayed down blessings on himself so that he could be known or accepted by others. I haven't read anything in the Word of God where Jesus prayed down blessings upon himself only. He didn't push his divine weight around to gain power or any kind of recognition. He didn't exalt himself at the expense of the poor or those less able. And he didn't glory in his own power or ability or achievement. No, Jesus came to build up the people of God. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to empower us. He came to prove it by glorifying God's blessings upon others. That's what Christ did when Christ walked on this earth. He wasn't in competition with anybody, and neither should the saints of God be in competition with anyone or anybody. Surely he heard his disciples glorying at his mighty deeds, yet in all of Christ's humility, he said in John 14:12, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also." And listen to these words here. He said, "And greater works than these shall be he do, because I go unto my Father." Amen. See, he didn't come to exalt himself, but he said, "Greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." How many of us can claim this same grace? We're not here to glorify and lift ourselves up, but we're here to show the world that we have a God who has an unrelentless love for mankind, a God who is still has his son, Jesus' son's arms stretched out and saying, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." How many of us believe that Jesus is still calling mankind to come? You think about it, saints of God. We have a young man in our midst today because he wants to be saved. He wants to know about Jesus Christ. That's the love of Almighty God. Yes, he has watched his grandmother, no doubt in my mind. He's watched his grandfather, no doubt in my mind. He's heard about Jesus Christ. He wants to know more about God. And saints of God, that's how God draws man to him. He said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me." Our lives are to lift up Jesus Christ. Our lives are to be the example this world sees. As sister said, when she was out at the store, her life was the example. She is the Bible that she reads. She is the Bible that is preached to her. That's what the world needs to see, and not all this mess that they're seeing today.
Amen.
We're living in a time when the ministry is full of themselves. They're not about Jesus Christ. is all about selling their books and their cassettes and all the things that they have. But we're not here to sell and make merchandise of God's things, saints of God. It's all about Jesus, not about you and I. And I thank God for that. Because that's why Jesus did not build the church on Peter.
Yeah.
See, you and I are subject to fail. We're subject to fall. But oh, we serve a God. We serve a Lord Jesus Savior, who is the rock of our salvation. He is solid in his truth. The foundation, we're told, of the Lord standeth sure, having this wise. The foundation of God is going nowhere. But look around all these places that used to stand for truth and righteousness. And many of them have become nothing but a place of the devil. A lot of evil spirits are within them. But I thank God for the Word of God. Thank God for the Spirit of God. Thank God for our Sunday school lessons.
Amen.
And how this Sunday school lesson is teaching our children about salvation, about coming to Almighty God and living a righteous and sober life in this present world.
Thank
oh, thank God for His Word. Oh, thank God each and every day that we're able, saints of God, to say thank you, Lord, for giving me this salvation. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for me. Oh, thank you, Lord, for knowing the Word of God. I thank God for knowing truth in this day and time. I feel sorry for some who are out there who are trying to learn about God, but I thank God for knowing truth. In Romans, the 12th chapter, turn with me there for a moment. Paul tells us about another love, one of God's unrelenting love. He says there in verse 9, let love be without dissimulation, meaning without hypocrisy. He said, abhor that which is evil. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly, affectionate, one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Saints of God, before we came to Almighty God, we may have been out there in the world hating and hating one another. We may have been out there in the world doing some of the things that the world is doing today, because our Bible tells us there was a time when you and I did not have the love of God in us. But I thank God that now that we are saved, we have that love. Titus, in Titus, the third chapter, look what Paul says here. Paul says in that third chapter of Titus, he said, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, and to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. This is what we've got to show to mankind, whether they love us or not. We've got to be meek and humble. Then he went on. This is the part we want to get to. He said, for all we ourselves also were sometimes what? Foolish. We were also disobedient. We were also deceived. We were serving diverse lusts. This is the old life, saints of God. He said, in pleasures. We lived in malice. We had envy. We had hatred. We were hating one another. And but look what he says. But after that, the kindness, here's the love of God, the unrelenting love of God. He said, the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Thank God. He went on to say, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thank God that he sent his son, Jesus Christ. Thank God he loved us so much. You think about what he said there. Let's look at verse 5 again. He said, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. There's nothing that you and I have done to deserve the grace and mercy of Almighty God. He said, but according to his mercy, he saved us, thank God. According to God's mercy, you and I are saved today by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I thank God. Oh, I praise God for his grace. Praise God for his mercy toward mankind. Thank God for his grace that keeps us each and every day. Thank God that he loved us, as we said. He loved us so much that he sent his son that you and I might be able to be saved today. Oh, praise God for the word of God.
Amen.
Praise God. God's grace will help you and I to remain humble, even as we rejoice in blessings that others God blesses them with. I believe, saints of God, that you and I have plenty of reasons to be excited about our Savior, Jesus Christ. We don't have no reason to get jealous over each other about anything that God does for one another. My Bible tells me in 1 Corinthians 7:7 that every man has his proper gift of God. See, some of us may be able to sing and have beautiful voices as Sister Carol and Brother Morgan. And some of the others that we had, Sister Regina's beautiful voice. But some of us may, God may have called in the ministry or may be able to pray and do various things. But God gives each man his gift. Proverbs 18:16 says, a man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before a great man. What God has given you, use it to God's glory and to God's honor. I believe God put us together for a reason. All of our gifts come together and work for one cause, and that is for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that is to see that mankind are saved, not to bring glory to any of us individually, but to bring glory to Almighty God. As we said, I believe we have many reasons to praise his name together as the saints of God. Every time we dip our buckets, so to speak, into the well of grace and mercy, you and I should reach the same conclusion. There is no bottom. What are you saying, Sister Renee? Turn to Psalm 68:19. It said, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Praise God. He daily.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the love of God, saints of God. Daily loadeth us with benefits. We may not see it, but God is blessing us each and every day. Oh, thank God for it. See, this is the goodness and greatness of our God. And all that he does and all that he is, his goodness is manifested in his grace and in his mercy. It is God's grace above all that touches the heart of man and propels him to praise our God. Oh, I thank God. There are times you may be sitting. I found myself sitting somewhere, and I just say, praise God. Oh, just
Amen.
Thank God
Amen.
For his goodness. May have carried you over through a rainstorm. May have carried a loved one throughout the air. He may have carried someone. He may have had a loved one do something and bring something to you, or you take something to someone. Just praise God. He doesn't always have to be giving us something in order for us to just say, thank you, Lord. There are often times we just need to wake up and say, the dawning of a new day. God did not allow us to have to see May 5th, 2019, but we thank God that God allowed us to be in the land of the living today. We may not feel 100%. We may not have all of our strength. We may have some aches and pains. We may not be able to pay all of our bills, but we can thank God for where we are in this life. We can thank God if we have salvation. We can thank God for that salvation. Our salvation is precious, and thank God for it, because there are some out there right now in this world today, they don't have an avenue or an alternative. They don't know about Jesus. They don't know. They may be going to a bottle. They may be taking drugs. They may be selling themselves, whatever they might be doing, but they're not doing it to the glory and honor of God. But you and I, as the saints of God, we may get up and may not be able to feel well, but we can thank God that he allowed us to rise this morning. Thank God if you're not feeling well, you still were able to see. You still were able to hear. You still able to speak. You still able to stand. You still able to eat. Thank God for everything. In everything, give thanks. For this is what? The will of God. Even if you're going through something. I was listening when Sister Summers was giving her testimony. Thank God, thanks to God. We're able-bodied. We don't have to have someone come in and turn us or move us. But thank God that Sister could pray. And she said she just prayed for her. She's at the mercy of others. But Sister just prayed, and she said, oh, I thank God he came in and sent someone else. She may have had to wait a little period of time, but our God is right on time.
Amen.
How many of us found it to be so? I don't find our God to be late to any appointment or anything that God needs to do. We may say, well, God should have showed up. You think about it in the Bible. Remember when Lazarus was dead. Remember Mary and all of them around, and they said, Jesus, you should have came here 4 days ago. But Jesus knew what's then to come. He did it. He said, I came at the time that God said it. But God, he did it for what? For their sake. God, he needed to show them something. And what was that? That he was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I am the author and heart for our God. God can raise up the dead. God can raise up the sick. God can kill God can cure cancer. God can cure any kind of disease mankind has. That's the God we serve.
Amen.
Praise God. Oh, I thank God for his goodness. All that he does for us. All that he gives to us on a daily basis. Turn with me to Lamentations, the 3rd chapter. And look what he says there in that 22nd verse. He said, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Thank God for that.
Amen.
Because his compassion fails not. This is the unrelenting love of God. Because God's compassion fails us not. He went on to say, they are new every morning. Oh, thank God every morning when you can get up and hear the birds out there chirping, when you can hear the various things. Thank God for it, saints of God. He goes on to say there, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness.
Amen.
He said, the Lord is my portion. Sister mentioned it earlier. She didn't know about the scripture, but she said, God is our portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Is God your portion today? Is God all that you need today? See, we don't need God and something else. We just need God, because God is able to supply everything. He's complete in himself. He said in the word of God, I am. That's complete. God is subject and verb. He is complete within himself, and he is all that you and I need. He goes on to say that the Lord is good unto them that wait for him. Sometimes, saints of God, we may try to run ahead of God, but the Bible says here, and this is a promise, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul. That a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Oh, I thank God for the salvation of God. There are many things out there in this world today that are not about the salvation of God. Many of them are telling souls the wrong way to come to God. And it's not according to Scripture. God has one plan of salvation for all mankind. And that is that mankind must be born again. You must ask God for forgiveness. It's not about coming in and signing a roll. It's not about knowing the pastor or preacher or anyone in. It's not about you coming and putting in a bunch of money in the plate. But it's about coming to Almighty God on God's terms and conditions. Not on mankind. See, God is God alone. Not only is he God, but he is Lord of all. When this old world appears to be spiraling out of control, you and I can't forget that everything is in the mighty hands of Almighty God. You see, evil times and evil people are all going to pass away. However, when we turn to the last page of the prophecy of this word of God, one who still stands, when the dust settles, so to speak, the Lord Jesus will be there, who has always been there. In Revelation 17:14, he is going to be Lord of lords and King of kings. Even in the end of time where everything is all said and done, he is still going to be the King of kings. I thank God for it. Yes, we serve a great God, a God who demands and deserves our praise. I challenge each and every one of us, including myself, to learn to take our eyes up off of this old sinful world and the things that are going on and all the evil that is taking place right now, and for us to place our eyes on God. See, when we do, he will receive the praise that he deserves. No matter what you are facing in this time, let us not get caught up in the things that are happening to us and feel that God has forsaken us. When everything is said and done, we find that concerning God, it is never all said and done. As long as there is a God in heaven, there will be a reason for you and I to praise God's great name for his unrelenting love to you and I. See, God knows when to come, and God knows when to wrap his loving arms around us. He knows when to send us comfort. He knows when we're going through some pain. He knows when to massage someone's heart to bring them back to life when they may have had a heart attack. He knows when to reach into the NATO unit or the children. We know that he's able to walk the hallways of any hospital here, and he's able to touch and heal mankind. We've seen it happen before. We thank God he touched Brother Man's eyes. There were many times when Brother Man came in and he said all he could see sometimes was black, and we know that God, he said, touched his eyes, and Brother has given him praise. That's the God we serve today. He knows when to whisper sweet peace to our soul. He loves us, and God has promised us that he will be with you and I till the end of time. His promise is that nothing will be able to come between us and him. By the way, the word separate is a strong word. It carries the idea of dividing asunder. Regardless of what happens in this life, nothing that man can do to you and I can come between us and what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe it, saints of God? God's love endures all things and makes us secure in him. Turn back to Romans, that 8th chapter, and look at that 37th verse. And look what he says there. He says, nay, in all these things, we are more than what? Conquerors. Through him that loved us. See, Paul tells us that through the things in verse 35 through 36, we are overwhelming conquerors. See, when we face the battles of this life, why? Because he lives within us, and God enables us to stand. In Acts 17:28, we are told, for in him we live and move and have our being. You see, as true believers, and why do I say true? I say true because there's so many false believers today. Yes. There's so many out there that don't believe in the things of Almighty God. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And what are you saying, Sister Renee? You think about it. Many of them will tell you in a heartbeat, oh, I can't help but sin. I can't live free from sin. What you're saying is you're lying on Almighty God.
Right.
When God has said
right.
to us in the Word of God that mankind is to live righteously and soberly in this present world, you're saying that you're serving a God that cannot keep you from sinning. But I say to you, if you say that you're serving a God that can't keep you from sinning, you're not serving Almighty God.
Amen.
Because our God is able. Go through the Word of God and read about all the things that God was able to do. God is able to keep man if mankind wants to be kept. But we find that mankind doesn't want to be kept. Why? So many are trying to live still out in the world and trying to straddle the fence and live for Almighty God. But God doesn't have fence straddlers. Either you're a child of God or you're a child of the devil. You can't sit in the middle of the fence. One week I'm on for God. Another week I'm on for the devil. Not so.
Amen.
Either you are a child of God or you are a child of the devil.
Right.
See, we prove by the life that we now live in Him that God is real.
Amen.
If we allow the things of this world, such as tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness. That's what Paul said in verse 35. If we allow these things to come between us and our living God, then we are probably not saved to begin with.
Amen.
See, if a professing Christian can walk away from the things of God and return to a sinful lifestyle, living in sin, that person did not lose their salvation. They just never received it in the first place.
Amen. Amen.
I can't see where I'm turning back and going back out into this world of sin. When the 1 John 2:19 says, they went out from us, but they were not of us.
Mm-hmm.
For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. So you can't say that I'm going to turn today, I'm living for the Lord, and God's been blessing me with all these things that God has blessed us with, and then all of a sudden one day you wake up and I'm just not going to serve God no more. It's been a gradual thing. You've been gradually letting things slip.
That's right.
Amen.
You've been gradually allowing the devil to keep you from the things of God. You've been allowing this world to come and start impeding on your things that are of God. You're starting not to read and study your word. You're starting to miss services unless there's a reason for you to miss. I tell you, saints of God, I've had to miss on Wednesday night because it's my night to be there with my mom to take care of her. And I miss being in the house of God. As Sister said, you can listen to it on the phone. It's not the same. And I feel sorry for some of them that have to listen in. But you can listen to it, but it's not the same being present with the saints of God in the house of God. But God knows my duty there with my mom. But I thank God that prior to that, the saints of God can witness that I was here and faithful to the services of God. I didn't stay away just to stay away. But now that I'm not able right now, temporarily, but God is going to turn around and one day I'll be back, able to be back to Wednesday night. So I'm looking forward to it. I thank God and I'm not bragging on myself. I'm saying to the glory and honor of God. I know last Saturday, I had missed a couple of the pantry because it's also my night, Friday night, to be there to stay over with Mom. But as soon as my brother came in, I jumped in the car. I was right here to be with the saints of God. I missed the service, but I thank God that I was able to be with the saints of God. It's nothing like being in the house of God with the people of God.
Praise God.
My life is no longer out there in the world. I don't want to be around all this stuff. I don't have to go to ball games and all that kind of stuff. If you do, I'm not saying there's anything wrong, but I don't have to. But I would rather be in the house of God with the saints of God, praising God. I love listening to the testimony. I love listening to what God is doing for the people of God. Oh, we serve a great God. But see, some have allowed the enemy to keep them away, and then pretty soon they don't come. You don't hear from them. True Bible salvation will produce an endurance in a saint of God, the true child of God. We are enabled by the prevailing love of God to carry on until God calls us home to glory. No matter what we might suffer or be going through in this life, we will carry on until God calls us home, meaning we've got it settled. Romans 14:8 says, for whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. See, when we are able to weather the storms of life, whatever they might be, and still want to live for Jesus, that is a good sign that you and I have a real salvation. When everything that comes along blows us off course, we had better do a checkup to see where we stand with God. According to this verse, the love of God enables us to persevere until the end. If you find yourself every time something happens, I've got to go to the altar and ask God, that means you need to come and ask God to be delivered.
Amen.
God is looking for a settled people. People who have settled it. Live or die, I am the Lord. We got to settle it with Almighty God. Yes, we are in a fight each and every day, saints of God, for our lives, our spiritual lives. Our enemy's name is the devil. He's not our friend. You see, this is why, as a people of God, we must have on the whole armor of God in order for us to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And if we are to do that, and if we are to do what the scriptures say, then we must know how to prepare ourselves. Very clear. That our goal as Christian soldiers is that of standing. God has shown us his love to us. Was a promise from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when he said to his disciples in John 14:6, and I pray, will pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. See, the comforter of Almighty God will help you and I to keep our faith. He will help us to be able to stand in the midst of a storm. That's why you've got to have on the whole armor of God. Turn for a moment there to Ephesians and look what that armor is. You can read a little bit more in depth when you go home. But look what he says there in verse 10. He says, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Saints of God, we've got to be strong in God. We've got to believe what God said in his word. Yes, the world is running in a way that is not according to God's word. When you can kill someone and bury them and still act like you didn't do anything wrong, that is a demented mind. That's what the devil will do. Many times right now we're seeing things. I remember Brother Brian had said something. It's been a while ago. He said, saints of God, is on a Wednesday night, we're going to start seeing some things real close, even in our own family. Things are happening in a nanosecond. Look around and see what's happening. But we've got to believe in Almighty God. We've got to know that we are children of God. We've got to realize that this Christian life is not a playground. We've got to know that it's a spiritual battlefield, that we are engaged in a spiritual warfare. Are armed and equipped and ready to wage spiritual battle. What he is saying, Sister Renee, many of the people of God don't have on the armor. The word of God says there in Ephesians, put on the whole armor. Amen. You can't put on one piece and not have the other. He went on to say that you may be able to what? stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. What are the rulers of the darkness of this world? Look at the laws that are being put in place today. Thank the God, it goes against the grain of God.
That's right.
It goes against the word of God. We're living in a time where the world wants you to accept everything that's going on. We said it before. How, who would have thought we would be fighting on which restroom to use? That's the world in which we live. We're living in a time where the world is saying it's okay for a man to marry a man, a woman to marry a woman, and then turn around and raise children. That's not according to the word of God. God said, I made male and female. That's what God made. He didn't make anything in between. God did not ordain the things that we're seeing in the night today. So we've got to have on the armor to fight against these things that are going on. Why? Because the world right now is running rampant with it. There are people who once stood against it. I have friends who now they're saying, well, that's their lifestyle. It's okay. They're having weddings. They're having all kinds of things. They're having baby showers. Various things they want to invite you to. But saints of God, we've got to stand for righteousness.
Amen.
No matter what the world says, Jesus says, what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Don't allow the world to suck us into all this stuff that's going on. You may have to depart from some friends, but you got to stand your ground in the Lord.
Amen.
You see, Satan hasn't authored any books, but God has fully exposed all of his tactics right here in the Word of God. That's why we are told that our weapons of this warfare are not carnal. We're not fighting with knives and guns and all those kind of things. But what we are fighting with, we have to take the whole armor of God. We got to be able to withstand in the evil day. And we're in the evil day right now. He says on there, stand therefore having what? Your loins girt about with what? Truth. God's word is true. Having on what? The breastplate of righteousness. Have your feet shod with what? The preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of what? Faith. It's our faith that's going to get us through faith of God. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. He goes on to say there, he said, all the fiery darts of the wicked. We've got to walk in faith. He said, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. All saints of God, that is why you and I have got to know the word of God. Why we've got to know the scriptures. Because he says on there, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Many times a day, the people of God do not know the word of God. They're not able to stand. When the devil begins to come at them, they're not able to take a stand for Almighty God. But Isaiah 34:16 says, in that scripture, he says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate, for my mouth it has commanded, and his spirit it has gathered them. You got to seek out of the word of God. You got to search the word of God. Also, we are told there, turn to 2 Timothy 2:15, and look what he says there in the word of God. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God. I know many times people will say, oh, that belongs to the ministry. But all study of the word of God belongs to anyone who says they're a child of God. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. John 5:39 says, he says there, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. Acts 17:11 says there, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind. Saints of God, are we receiving the things of God with all readiness of mind? Are we ready to receive God's word? Or is our mind so tied up on the things of the world that God's word cannot penetrate our mind? He went on to say here that they receive the word with all readiness of mind and search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Acts, well, Romans 15:4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. As a child of God, it's our duty to read and study the word of God on a daily basis.
Amen.
That we will know how to fight the good fight of faith. It is sad to hear how many that do not know the word of God. Many can only quote a few scriptures that we learned as children, but do not know the basic things that they need to know to stand their ground against the devil. This is why Jesus said in the word of God in Matthew, the 22nd chapter and the 29th verse, he says, you do err, not knowing what? The scriptures, nor the power of God. Many are erring and doing things that they're doing because they do not know the scriptures. They do not know the word of God. They're not able to stand, and then you find them doing things, and they say, well, I didn't know, and that's because they don't know the word of God. We don't know all the scriptures in the word of God, but we ought to know the basic ones that God wants us to know. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Lord, have mercy. Help us. Let us take some time to know about God, the God we serve. Let us take time out of our busy schedules to dedicate time for God. Oh, saints of God, and when we do, we will find that our walk with Him will become more meaningful to us. I know I found it to be so.
Praise God.
Study God's word. Study to know about the God you serve. Study to know, because when you get down and you need to be able to hold on to something, you can hold on to the word of God. You may not be able to physically read or to see the word of God, but you can hold on to scriptures that God has given you. Oh, there's a purpose for all of us in this Christian walk. God has a purpose, and it's in the word of God. That's why we've got to walk worthy of the vocation the word of God says. And walking worthy, meaning knowing about God. Many of us are in professions and we do them. If you are an auto mechanic, you get in there and learn about mechanic. You go and get a book, right, for that industry. If you are into something else, you go, you're a horticulture or anything, you go and get and learn about that industry. How much more as the saints of God should we get into the Bible and learn about God and what God has outlined in His word for His people? Oh, I thank God for His word. God might call you to, might not be called to preach, teach, or sing, but God still has a work for each and every one of us in the kingdom of God. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to Lord, not unto men. And that is reading and studying God's word. That includes that there too. Oh, if God has called you to usher, you usher, then do it heartily, meaning enthusiastically. You do it unto God. If He's called you to clean restrooms, sweep floors, do it unto the Lord. If God has called you to come in here and dust the church, do it enthusiastically to the Lord. Don't worry about what others do. Everything that God wants you to do heartily unto him with gusto. Get up and do it for Almighty God. If God tells you to sing, get up. If you say, well, I can't keep a tune, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We're not here trying to learn how to be. You see, that's what happened. It's happening today in many places. It's all about who can sing, and we're having a competition. We've got the best praise team in Central Ohio, and we've got all the. That's not to the glory and honor of God.
Amen.
God don't care how good you can sing,
Amen.
But he does care about how you living.
Amen.
Many of them get up and sing. We have a lot of people that sing better than us. But I thank God for knowing him and the free pardon of my sins. I thank God for living for him who died for us. Oh, thank God for his love toward us. We are told in another scripture in 2 Corinthians 9 that his love was a gift. Verse 15 says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Paul describes the great riches that have been given to us in Jesus as indescribable. Jesus is a gift so good, so great, so wonderful that he cannot be described. I was reading here in the Sunday school lesson. In the junior commentary where it says, God's great gift to us. God gave us the gift of salvation because he loves us with a great love. What was his gift to us? He quickened us together with Christ. That is, he gave us life as he gave Jesus when he raised him from the dead. We are dead in sins. When God saves us, it is a real resurrection from the dead. How many have found it to be? See, God does not half save us.
No.
We are not half saved. We are fully saved today.
Amen.
Praise God. He went on to say, our souls are quickened, meaning made alive. We become alive in Christ. Then God makes us sit in heavenly places in Christ. Yes, we are with other people as usual. He said, however, we are so happy in our hearts. Jesus is with us. It is like heaven. Oh, how many have found it so living for God. See, there was a time when all of us lived in sin. All of us were trying to cheat, steal, do something, rob, kill, whatever we were doing. But praise be to Almighty God. He went on to say here, more than that, in the ages to come, when we have gone to heaven, God will show us the exceeding riches of his grace. That is, he will give us far greater riches than we have here. Saints of God, many are out here right now trying to gather up all kinds of riches. The word of God says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. And some have erred. Some have left the love of God to go run after riches in this life. You know one thing about it. God does not want us out there running around trying to get all these riches and heap up all these material things upon them. But our richness has to be spiritual. Our treasures are set up in heaven. Not down here where someone can come in and steal. God wants us to have the riches of salvation, meaning we have love. Go over to Galatians, the 5th chapter, and look at what God says. God wants in us, these are the riches that you and I must have in order for us to be able to get into the kingdom of God. He says in that scripture there, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's what God wants us to have. Why does God start out? And he tells us about love. He says we must have love. Why? Because Paul explained to us in another scripture, a passage of scripture, and you can read it in your leisure, 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul went on there and started out saying, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, meaning if you don't have love, you are just making a lot of noise. Mm-hmm. That's all you are doing. Why? We read in our scripture reading this morning when we were reading. Because beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to what? Love one another. God loved you and I when we were sinners. And so God is asking you and I to love one another. By his grace, we are what we are today. The commentator went on to say that we were not fit for his gift. Nevertheless, he gave it by grace. If we had deserved it or paid for it, it would not be by grace. He gives us free something of his own life. That is God's grace. Oh, I thank God for it. If you are saved today and under the sound of my voice, and you say you need a reason to praise God, I say to you, look no further than Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you need a reason for thanksgiving or for rejoicing, look no further than the great riches that God has given to us in Jesus Christ. That's why he said he came to make our life full. He came to give us life and to give it more abundant and free in him. Or you may say to me, Sister Jenkins, there are things going on in my life right now. I'm going through some financial things, physical things, emotional things, sickness, whatever it might be. We're all going through something. You might look around and find no reason for wanting to rejoice. But I say if you take time to consider what God has done, what Jesus is doing right now in your life, all of us will find ample things to rejoice about that God has done for us. We will be able to even say, Lord, I didn't see how you were going to bring me through it, but you brought me through it.
Praise God.
You may say to me, well, sister, sometimes I begin to question God. Just ask God, Lord, help me. Help my unbelief. Help me to know that God is able to bring me through. Help us to know that God is able to keep us. God can keep you in any situation. God can bring you through any situation. You think about all the things that God has done just in these days that we've been in 2019. Yeah, we've had some sorrow. We've had some low days, some high days. But just think of the goodness of Almighty God. Think about when we went to the well and Jesus promised us the living water, as he did for the woman. He told us we would thirst no more. Have you found yourself thirsting? Have you found, he said, if you drink of this water here, right? That's what he told her, that she was going to have a thirst again. But he would give her some water. And that water, the word of God, that water is for you and I to drink. Oh, we can eat all the word of God we can eat because the Bible tells us he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be what? Filled. You can eat as much of God's word as you want and get as fat as you want to get on the word of God.
Amen.
You don't have to be on no starvation diet to serve God. You may say, oh, Sister Renee, then I get in there sometimes, I don't understand. But just ask the Holy Spirit of God to give you understanding so that you can live for God. Turn from all the stuff that's going on in this world. Ask God to help you. Say, Lord, I need help. I want to perfect this walk with thee. I see the love that you've given to me. I want to have that love that you said in the word of God that we must have. Turn back to 1 John, the 5th chapter, and look at what he says there in that scripture. See, God wants all of us to mature in our walk with him. See, as maturing believers, we are no longer in darkness. All the light of God has been turned on in our soul. We're living for Almighty God. We love Jesus Christ. We love the word of God. We want to do all that God has asked us to do. And he says there in the word of God, as we read this one, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is what? Born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. I found that to be so. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. And God sent his Son to be the atonement for our sins. He said, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. And his love is what? Perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. How many of us believe that? How many of us believe that God sent Jesus Christ to be the Savior of the world? Oh, thank God for it. Whosoever, he says, shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. See, God wants us to have perfect love. He went on to say here that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Saints of God, verse 19 says, we love him because he first loved us. God bless you. God, it's my prayer.
Praise God. Amen.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Amen. We love him because he first loved us.
Amen.
The unrelenting love of God. Amen. Amen. Thank God for his word. It's a good thing to know that you are loved, isn't it? Amen. Thank God for his great love. Shall we stand? Your number. 358 in the evening light. Amen. Amen. Praise our God. Be just as I am.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen.
Praise our God. Amen. This is how we come to God, humbly. Humbly bowing, giving up our will and our way to his will. Amen. And we come as we are, but we don't stay that way.
Amen.
Because we're told if any be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Amen.
If there's anyone here today who wants to be a new creature,
Amen.
Realizing that we have to be a new creature in Christ Jesus in order to be pleasing to God.
Amen.
We have to be.
Amen.
If that's so, will you come to an altar of prayer? With the altar, we have the prayer room off to your left. You can come as we are, but the Lord will make us a new creature. Amen. Amen. we sing.
As I am without one plea, except thy blood was shed for me, and as thou bidst me come to God, I come, I come, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot or lamb. Of God I come. I come. Just
much that he gave a lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ,
my.
Who went to the slaughter that we might be saved.
Praise God.
The verse we just sang said, just as I am poor, wretched, blind. That's the way every sinner is. It doesn't matter how much money you have or how many possessions, how much land. Doesn't matter how intelligent you think you are. We have to humble ourselves to come to God.
Amen.
It even says healing of the mind, because when we're in sin, we don't have the mind of Christ. And so our heart has to be tenderized. We have to be given a soft heart that God can touch. And then a healing of the mind, so that we have our mind. Minister Jenkins said, we have to have our mind on the things of God and not on the things of the world.
Amen.
And if you find that your mind is more on things of the world than on things of God, you need to come. You need to come and repent. And if you profess to know the Lord, then you need a fresh infilling. Don't let the enemy make you swerve away from the things of God.
Amen.
Because the last part says, yes, all I need in thee to find. He has everything that we need. Don't need the things of the world.
My.
Because all of that's going to pass away anyway.
Amen.
That's all going to leave.
Amen.
The altar is here if you want to pray.
Praise God.
Next verse.
As I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome pardon, cleanse me, be thy promise I believe.
God.
That verse said that his love has broken every barrier down. That's what the love of God can do.
My. Praise
can
God.
Break down that barrier that has you bound in sin. Can
yes.
break down the chains that are holding people in sin.
Yeah.
Can break down that the barriers that are holding people in half-heartedness.
Amen.
Or holding people in slowfulness.
Yes.
The love of God is extended.
Yes.
Amen. Is there anyone who has a need?
Amen.
Anyone who said, pray for me?
Amen.
Pray for me. Amen. So we thank God for his word this day.
Amen.
And we consider how much God loved us.
My.
Touch your heart.
Amen.
And if you're saved, it will make you want to go on for the Lord and never want to disappoint him.
Amen.
For what he's given you.
Amen.
If you're not saved, think of one who died for you.
My God.
That you could be saved.
Thank you, Lord.
That will bring sorrow of heart.
Amen.
And guilt. And that's repentance.
Praise God.
Amen. Thank God for his word and his spirit this day.
Amen.
Shall we look to the Lord?
Amen.
Dear God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, dear God, for your word this day. We thank you, dear God, for stirring up our minds, dear God, and causing us to think on your great love for us. Lord, you loved us when we didn't even love ourselves, dear God. We were lost in sin and shapen in iniquity. And Lord, in your great love, dear Father, you gave your son Jesus to die that we could be saved. And he loved us so much that he willingly suffered and bled and died to redeem us from a miserable life of sin. Lord, help us, dear God, who have been redeemed through the blood of the Lamb to walk worthy of this vocation. Help us, Lord, not to be slothful. Help us, Lord, to always, Lord, put you first, dear God.
Praise God, amen.
Help us always to want to have the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, dear Father. Help us, Lord, you saw each upraised hand, dear Father. Help us, Lord, to be established and settled in your love, dear God. So much so, dear God, that we never want to leave you, dear God. Because, Lord, we know, Lord, that you will not leave us. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would, Lord, speak to the hearts and minds, Lord, of those who heard the message, whether it be on the phone or, Lord, in this building, dear God, those who are not saved. Lord, we pray, dear God, that your word would go, dear Father, and would speak to those hearts, dear God. Lord, we know there are doubtless some who heard the word, dear God, whether it be on the phone or wherever it is, and they know they're not saved. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would trouble their spirit, dear God. Father, to come and to seek you, dear God. Because there is no rest to the wicked, dear Father.
Amen.
And Lord, we know, Lord, you said in your word that you're angry with the wicked every day. Help them, dear God, not to be satisfied to have you angry with them, dear Father, every day.
Lord,
we pray, dear Father, that you would speak to minds and hearts, dear God. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that your word, dear God, would go forth in power, dear God, to change hearts and minds and lives through God. Dear God, we pray, Father, that you would have your way. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray, dear Father, that you would help us, Lord, to measure to all of it, dear God. realizing, dear Father, that you hold out a crown, dear God, if we will stand, take a stand on your word, dear Father,
amen,
and not be turned to the right hand or to the left. Lord, even as Minister Jenkins preached, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Will we let anything in this world separate us from the love of Christ? Our eternal life depends upon not being separated.
Yes.
So, Lord, help us, dear God, Father, to seek to, Lord, hold on to you, dear God. Lord, if we've been saved, Lord, help us. And Lord, for those who don't know you, dear God, and the pardon of their sins, who have not experienced, who have not tasted of this great salvation, Lord, we pray that you would speak to their hearts in the name of Jesus. And Lord, that you would, Lord, go forth in mercy, dear God, and speak peace to our hearts, dear God, that they may come and turn over their life to thee. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and we thank you, dear Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank God for his word this morning. Thank God. Thank God for Minister Jenkins. Continue to lift her up in prayer. And continue to pray for ourselves, too. Times, as you said, Sister Summers testified, the times when you just have to pray for yourself. The times when you can ask someone to be agreed with you in prayer or ask someone to pray for you, but and they may pray for you, but they may not be under the burden like you are. And the times when you just have to pray for yourself. And so we have to live so that we can get that prayer, that earnest prayer through. We thank God. Thank the Lord for hearing. Amen. Just some brief announcements. First, I received a card from a lady named Barbara G. Ford, who lives on Dominion Boulevard, addressed to the church. And it says, the Worthington Music Club sends this contribution in memory of Charles Carroll. Beverly Carroll is a longstanding member of our club. Sincerely, Barbara Ford. And she sent $50 to the church. Amen. Amen. I'll give you the card. Amen. 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 For our announcements, Vacation Bible School Week will be July 8th through the 12th from 6 p.m. until 8:30 p.m. Our theme is Drawing Closer to God. Our teachers are Brother Lavester Jackson and Brother Maurice Blake. Please pray for this study. For the November Turkey Giveaway for the month of May, the items to bring in are 2 28-ounce cans of green beans per week. Please check the expiration dates for 2020 or beyond. And please remember the change canister is always available to receive your donations. So if you're unable to go out to the grocery store and get the cans of green beans, and you can make a contribution into the change canister for green beans. Devotional leader is Sister Beverly Carroll. Her alternate is Brother Bill Morgan. We thank God for blessing Brother Pierre Johnson Jr. to drive the bus this morning and to make his pickups. We're